Guten Abend, meine Damen und Herren. Ich begrüße Sie zu Social Media Know-How. Now, what are the most popular social networks for recruiting and job search? What's smart working and how do you embrace it? How can climbing rocks help us in the workplace? To answer these questions and more, I've had the pleasure of speaking to Julia Jachmann of Adecco Group. And guess what? She just happens to be a keynote speaker at SM London Live on the 11th of November. So, let's check in with Ruby again to see how the preparations are going.
Thanks, Jorgen. Today we're sorting out speaker requests, and there's been some outrageous ones. One of the speakers is being dropped off in a pink helicopter, someone else has requested a bowl of only blue M&Ms, and another speaker has asked for a selection of purple hats handcrafted by the Gyoto monks of Tibet. Can we do it? You'll have to come to SM London Live on the 11th of November to find out. For tickets and more info, check out socialmedialondon.co.uk and use the code PODCAST for 10% off. See you there.
Okay, let's crack on with the show. Okay, so I'm here with Julia Jachmann, who is the Global Social Media Manager for the Adecco Group. And Julia is joining us today at Link Humans International Global Headquarters in Finchley. How are you doing today?
Very good. Thank you, Jorgen.
Thank you. Thanks for coming here. And so apart from being the global social media manager for Adecco Group, your bio also reads that you're a social nerd, which I guess fits in really well with your job. You're also into rock climbing, Sportklettern.
Yes, yep. That's true.
And your Twitter handle is Leseratte, which I think translates into something like a bookworm.
Yes, I wherever I go, I always need something to read.
Ah, what are you reading currently?
I'm reading a book from Terry Pratchett and Stephen Baxter on The Long Earth.
The Long Earth, okay. Yes. You can check that out. And you're based in Düsseldorf, Nordrhein-Westfalen. Nice part of the world?
Absolutely. I can only recommend to come.
Absolutely, yeah. You can do a nice river cruise on the Rhine there.
Yes, when it's sunny.
Yes. And of course, you're a speaker at SM London Live on the 11th of November.
Which I'm very much looking forward to.
Great. Okay, so let's crack on with this. Tell us about the Adecco Group for people that don't know it already. And what do you do there?
Okay. So Adecco Group is the largest staffing company worldwide. We have brands and branches and offices all over the world. And we basically help people to find new jobs and companies to fill in open positions. So what do I do there? As you mentioned initially, I'm the Global Social Media Manager. And that means I partly take care of some of the social media channels that we own. And I also give consultancy to the countries for all topics related to social media marketing, advertising, social recruiting, communication. And I help them to get started and with any questions that they have.
Excellent. And so Adecco Group is the world's leading provider of HR solutions, so a huge company. What are your objectives around social media?
Well, social media is a two-way communication channel, and we do want to speak to the audience, and we want to speak with the audience that is interested in Adecco and the services that we offer. But we also want to talk about what we do, what's life at Adecco, what makes us a company, and what we can offer to the people out there.
Okay, great. And now, tell us about the Work Trend Study 2015, hashtag WTS Adecco.
Yes, so that's my baby for this year. I'm very happy to talk about this today. So we've launched it on the 7th of October, which was yesterday. And the Work Trend Study focuses on social recruiting and smart working. And I'm really proud to say that it's the largest study conducted in this area. So we had 26 countries participating in the study, and we had more than 30,000 job seekers participating.
Wow.
And more than 4,000 recruiters participating, which was larger than the study that we conducted last year. So I'm really happy about those results and really thankful to all my colleagues making this such a huge success.
And I think last year the study was the biggest one ever done in this space, and so this year is even bigger.
Yes.
Someone call the Guinness Book of Records.
Yeah.
So going through some of the points here in this meaty study, first of all, what have you found regarding LinkedIn versus Facebook?
Okay. So when we looked at the study or the results of the study, we noticed that there still is a difference between Facebook and LinkedIn, for example. But let me look back a little bit to last year. We asked a very similar question in the 2014 social recruiting study, and we found that there was a very distinct difference between the usage of Facebook and LinkedIn, where people said, oh, I only use Facebook for very private reasons and I don't want to be contacted on Facebook, and please leave me alone with your business stuff on Facebook.
Yeah.
And LinkedIn was purely for professional networking, for example. But when we look at the data this year, we've seen that this line is blurring. So people go to Facebook to check out recruiters, to check out companies. They want to see what the reputation of a potential employer is. But they also get in touch with companies over Facebook. So we see that this line between the professional and private usages is really diminishing.
Right.
And that's a very huge trend that we've seen in the data.
That's interesting, yeah. I would agree with that. I think Facebook is definitely getting more professional. They've launched a Facebook at Work product. And LinkedIn, I don't know if you've seen the new messaging system on LinkedIn with animated GIFs and everything. So it's kind of turning into WhatsApp or something.
Exciting times.
Yeah, absolutely. And if we look at the most commonly used channels, which ones are they? Which ones are on the up? Which ones are on the down? And are there any differences if you look in terms of geography as well?
Okay. So here we wanted to know the different usage between traditional online channels, such as corporate websites and job boards, versus the new on the market, which is social media. And we've seen that there is still a strong preference of job boards over corporate websites over social media. But we can also see that there is a regional difference. So, for example, in Eastern European countries, they really prefer to use social networks, whereas in North and South America, the job boards are a really big thing. And for Central Europe, it's more the corporate websites that people go to first.
Oh, that's interesting. And where do you think it's heading?
To social media, of course.
Yeah.
So we've also asked what is the trend for next year?
Mm-hmm.
And the recruiters, for example, said that they expect it to be more important on social media for that coming year.
Okay. That's good to know. And tell us about reputation management for both job seekers and companies.
Yeah. So for job seekers, they've known for a very long time now that recruiters do check them out. And they manage that very proactively now. So for example, they put the links to their social profiles on their CV, and they tell them, hey, here's my Facebook profile, go and check me out. So this is something that's happening more and more, whereas it's more common in Asian countries for that to happen compared to Europe, for example. And the other part of that coin is that they not only manage their own reputation proactively, but they also want to know about the reputation of who's sitting at the other side of the table when they go to an interview. So they do check out recruiters. And that's a very specific thing that came out of the data. And I think for the recruiters, they need to take care more about their own reputation, because they're not only checking out, but they're being checked out. So they need to be active on the social media channels. They need to be posting and tweeting. And they also need to take care about what they post there and which kind of content they publish, because that not only reflects on themselves, but also on their employer and how they want to portray an employer branding, which is something that's very attractive to the candidates on the other side. So I think on the one side, the candidates managing their own reputation proactively, and for them to check out the recruiters, not only the company profile, but also the recruiter, that's something that we will have to manage more in the future.
Interesting. Do you see a trend also towards employee advocacy? So In terms of a job seeker looking not just at the recruiters and the HR people of a company, but perhaps also other people working at the company, anything from working in the same team to the CEOs and so on.
Yeah, I mean, with the rise of hashtags on many social media channels, this is something that candidates will look at more and more once they find out which hashtag is, for example, very specific to a company.
Mm.
So I think, yes, that's something very important for the future.
Yeah. So you're currently drinking our cappuccino here. Nescafe cappuccino from a Hootsuite mug, which reminds me that, like, for instance, hashtag Hootsuite life is one of those hashtags where a company really talks about what the culture is in the company and all around the world. And mm-hmm. is there an equivalent Adecco hashtag?
Well, for the study, it's WTS Adecco, so I would be really happy if more people use that.
Is there an Adecco Life hashtag? Should there be, maybe?
We don't have one globally yet.
Okay.
In America, it's I love my job or my job is great.
Oh, okay.
And we've got the Win for Youth hashtag, and also we encourage people to use the Adecco Selfie hashtag.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I've seen a few snaps on that one.
Yeah.
Great. If we look at what type of candidates get contacted through social media, can you see a pattern?
So when we ask recruiters which kind of positions they try to source through social media, we found that they do that mostly for senior and middle management positions and more for permanent instead of temporary positions. That's something that we've seen. I'm really interested to see how the development on LinkedIn is going to be in terms of how we can differentiate between temporary and permanent positions through our profiles. So I think that will be something that might help the staffing industry in the future.
Absolutely,
to fill more for temporary positions.
Okay. And is there a correlation between the number of social networks that that candidates use and their success rates?
That's a very good question. And yes, there is. So we've seen that candidates that only use one social network, they have a 16% chance of being contacted by a recruiter over social media. And if they use all five big networks, such as Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, Google+, then that chance increases to more than 40%. So the more networks you use, the higher the probability is that you're being contacted by a recruiter, because not everybody is on all the networks. So the more you're out there, of course, the higher is the probability. But it also demonstrates that you're a social pro, and that lets you shine in the eyes of the recruiter.
Yeah, so you want to cast the net wide.
Yes.
So definitely want to be on there. What were the, you mentioned earlier, there were the main five networks, so it's LinkedIn, Facebook,
Twitter, YouTube, and Google+.
Okay, so those are the ones you want to cover first. Okay, and what about candidates who are not actively looking, or maybe possibly discreetly looking, what recruiters would call passive talent? What do they get contacted as well on social?
Absolutely, they do, and it doesn't really make a difference whether you're actively or passively seeking, because if your profile is really interesting, then the recruiter will get in touch with you nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to be active on social media. So even though you might have a Twitter profile, if the last tweet is from 2011, then you're not making yourself attractive in the eyes of the recruiter. So you need to be active on social media for that to happen.
Great. And the study also looks at smart working, which I think a few of our listeners won't be familiar with the concept. So could you explain for us, what is smart working? How is it being adopted? And is there any differences between job seekers, candidates, young people, old people, and so on?
Okay. Well, first of all, let me assure you, you're not the only one not knowing about the terminology of smart working.
I said our listeners, I know exactly what it is.
Well, I meant that in the direction of the audience.
Oh, okay, yes.
We've seen in the data that not many of the participants were familiar with that terminology. But we asked them if if these are your options, would you define that as smart working? And we gave them ideas such as flexibility of working in, sorry, let me repeat that. The flexibility in terms of deciding when you work, so timing, the flexibility of work location, the flexibility of choosing your own device, for example, whether you have an iPhone or an Android or an Apple or a Windows tablet, for example. Then they could make the combination, but when you tell people what is smart working, not many knew what that meant. But as I mentioned, the list, this is what we define as smart working. So it's deciding when you want to work, where you want to work, and with which device you want to work. And coming to the results of how we want to implement that, we can see that many of the job seekers actually are interested in using these kind of smart working solutions. Mm. But the recruiters are a bit more tentative in terms of implementing them. But the recruiters agree that the advantages are there, just the same as the candidates do. Now I lost my point.
So that's the difference between job seeking and recruiters. I think you also mentioned something about younger people and more senior professionals.
We also looked at different age groups and how they are open towards smart working solutions. And for example, younger people would be interested in working, for example, from a co-working space, but they have high concerns about doing so because maybe they don't trust their own abilities so much yet. They don't have much work experience. So they want to work more in a very close environment in a specific work location in an office. The same goes for elderly workers, but they have different reasons which are more associated to social aspects of the life in the office. Whereas we can see that people between 25 and 45, they have sometimes childcare responsibilities or parent care responsibilities, and this makes them want the smart working solutions more than maybe someone from a younger or older age group.
Right, okay, that makes sense, yeah. And I was just thinking about the difference between job seekers and recruiters. Could it be that recruiters are a little bit skeptical of smart working because they might believe, rightly or wrongly, that their clients don't want to hire people who say they want to work from home or want to be really flexible?
Let me think back, because some of the data is really ingrained in my brain, but I have to dig it out.
I'm just speculating. I mean, that's what I would think. If someone has just graduated, if they come to a big company and they say, oh, you know, I want to work half the week from home and I want a laptop and an iPad and I want to work from holiday or whatever, it might seem like they're not so keen on actually achieving that many results.
Well, for one part, I think recruiters know that the people that they're talking to are very mature people. Because also in the way we work nowadays, we don't judge ourselves by the amount of time we spend in the office, but we are being judged by reaching the objectives.
Yes.
And that's something that plays a very big role in today's work environment. And this is also something that we've seen in the data, that having a higher accountability gives you more flexibility in terms of where you're working and choosing your own work location, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter whether you need 2 or 5 hours of finishing your project, because in the end, it only matters that you perform very well on closing that project.
Yeah.
And that's something that recruiters are aware of.
Okay, great. And is there anything else we need to know about this study?
Well, there's lots of stuff in the study, and we've put it all in there for you in really nice graphics and highlights and tables and nice quotes. So I can definitely recommend you to read it. And we will also inform you about all the highlights of the study on our website and the social media channels that we have.
And it's available at, I think, is that adecco.com/worktrends?
That's correct.
That's right. Great. So I wanted to go back to the rock climbing aspect of yourself, Julia. So what, in terms of rock climbing, I'm slightly afraid of heights. What lessons from that would transfer into the work life?
Okay, that's a very interesting question. And number one is you always need to be very focused, because your life and your climbing partner's life depends on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you need to be sure that you have the right gear, that you know where you're going, because if you climb into a different, more difficult route, you might be at risk. The second part is you need to trust your climbing partner, because without that trust, you cannot focus on finding the next grip and, you know, placing the next thingy.
What's the word in German?
Exo.
Exo?
Never mind. But the point is trust. And the third one really is you need to have fun.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have fun, at the end of the day, you won't like rock climbing. And it really relates back to work. You need to love what you do.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And so tell us about what's the most challenging rock that you've ever climbed.
Oh.
That's not a metaphor that I'm actually asking.
That was in Finale Ligure in Italy 2 months ago. And I visited two friends of mine who were there for 2 weeks. And it was just above my climbing level. It was way too hard for me.
A bit scary.
Yes, there were lots of spiders.
Oh, right. So where does one get into rock climbing? Is it good to go to the gym with a climbing wall, maybe?
The gym is a really good place to start, because you have teachers showing you how to belay, how to tie a knot, how to make sure that you're safe, because safety always comes first.
Sure.
And then once you feel comfortable in a climbing gym, you can maybe experiment going outside.
Okay, well, might take you up on that. Great. And finally, how excited are you about your presentation at SM London Live on a scale from 1 to 11?
11, of course.
Yay, fantastic. What can we expect?
So you've heard some of the highlights from the study today, and I'll make sure that I'll make it really interesting for you to learn more about the study in the 20 minutes that I have. I'll make sure that you have some very key takeaways on smart working and social recruiting for the next year.
Wonderful. Great. And where can our listeners learn more about Adecco Group, the Work Trends study, and how can they connect with yourself, Julia?
All right, so we have social media channels. We are present on Facebook under Adecco. We're present on Twitter as Adecco Group, on Instagram as Adecco Group. We have an Adecco Group LinkedIn profile and a YouTube channel.
Yep.
Where we'll have also a video on the study soon.
Mm-hmm.
And you find all the information on the Work Trends study at adecco.com/worktrends.
And finally, how can we connect with you, Julia?
Well, on Twitter as Leseratejot, as you mentioned. So I'm happy to have new followers and follow back, and of course on LinkedIn.
Yes, and I've seen you also publish articles on LinkedIn.
I try, yes.
Great work. Well, thank you very much for your time today, Julia. It
was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So, if you like what you heard from Julia, check out the Work Trends study, follow Adecco Group on social media, or why don't you pop into one of their many branches around the world for a cup of coffee. Any questions or feedback for us, please ping us at LinkHumans on Twitter or email at info@linkhumans.com. Das war's. Thank you for listening, and I will catch you next time.
Thanks, Jorgen. Today the team and I... Thanks, Jorgen. Today the team and I realised... Oh, I can't do it. This is a bit where you've got to chime in and shout.
Okay.
Thanks, Jorgen. Today the team and I realised that the conference is in less than 2 weeks.
Two weeks?